Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Blog Talk Radio.
Real sports guys.
You're on right now with the Renegade.
People's Radio. It's all a jam in your headphones.
Allow me to introduce
the illustrious Queen Anne Hoop. Marcus the Game Changer. The Seventh Jackson. D. Will. The Ill Executive. He's like Suge Knight without the anger management issues. Phil T, the sports PhD. This dude is coming at you from all angles. He's got all the bases covered. There's not a whole lot about sports this brother don't know.
Can you dig it, sucker?
Featuring Ray, Justin Page, Eric Hampton.
RNG fans is like, woo!
Now, I blame it on Nintendo.
It's definitely a gin party around here. Definitely a gin party.
Don't bring any Kool-Aid.
It don't get no better than this, baby.
I want winners.
You guys act like this. Pick it up a little bit. Okay? Get your chin up. Smile. Smile. Anybody can be beat.
Don't get no more realer.
Welcome, welcome. You are listening to the Real Sports Guys, RSG, Renegade Radio, brought to you by Resistance Digital.
We're back. It's been a minute, but we're back here to hold you down, give you the raw sports talk, only the way we can, only the way Renegades can. I am your host, Marcus the Game Changer, and one third of the illustrious three-man booth. Allow me to introduce to my comrades in arms. First, to my right, I got my man, D. Wills. Holla at the people.
Wow, hey, Game Changers, you know, it's good to be back with you. It's good to have our lineup back. You know, it feels like we got the big three back in the building. And, you know, we had some incredible members of the rest of our RC family in the building. It's always good to get that starting lineup back. We can set those screens. We kind of know we know what to do on offense and defensive end without even talking.
Absolutely. You know, we deep like the clip show. We deep
That's
like
right.
Live City. We got
That's
starters
right.
coming off the bench. You know, we got starter quality talent coming off the bench. Shout out to RJ. Shout out to my man Justin for holding us down, you know, coming through and holding us down in the absence of whoever happened to be absent. You know, we're coming off the holidays. Again, Happy New Year to you all. You know, Merry Christmas. We didn't get to check you all out over Christmas. But, you know, it's 2013. And we're going to ring it in the right way, the RSG way, the Renegade way. You know, we got the GO team in full effect, and we're going to hold you down for the next 90 minutes. Oh, man. So, you know, we're stepping into the new year, and, you know, things are going on. You know, we got the NFL playoffs. We got the NBA season is heating up. College basketball, conference play is getting underway. There's so much going on. Heck, the NHL even decided they was going to show up for 2013. Good for them, right? So we got a whole lot in store for you all. I'm going to go ahead and get into the intro to let you know, but we give you a sneak peek at what we have in store. Now, again, we play it fast and loose around here. So we may get to all of this, and we may not. We run this, not the schedule. So if we get into something and we're going and we feel like we got a good flow going, we're going to keep running that. All right, we're going to keep running that play. We're not going to switch it up and get cute just for the sake of getting cute. We're going to keep running that play if we got something we want to talk about. But if you're listening, things that we'll get into. Early on in the show, we have Patrick Hayes from Ballin' Michigan. He runs a website that covers Michigan hoops. And, I mean, when I say Michigan hoops, I'm talking about hoops all throughout, from high school all the way up to the D1 teams. He covers it all on his website. He just got picked up by the Detroit Free Press to do their power rankings for the JUCOs and Division II power rankings in the newspaper. I mean, this guy does it all. He's really rising up the ranks as far as, you know, being one of the most in-depth basketball bloggers out there. So we're going to have him on shortly, actually. So be on the lookout for that. We got the funky editorial tonight. We're going to talk about the Rob Parker RG3 situation. We're going to get into that. I think that's going to be a great conversation. So hang on and make sure you hang around for that. We also are going to give you an NFL divisional round recap, RSG style. And then we'll hit you with This Week in the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, where we cover the NBA. We'll hit you with the Onions and Resistance Digital Dog of the Week and put a pretty bow on the show. Package it up, sell it like hotcakes. All right? So, you know, before we get into the proceedings this evening, I got to bring in my left-hand man. I introduced my right-hand man. I got to bring in my left-hand man. And that is my man, Phil T, Sports PhD. How you been, brother? Happy New Year. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. And whatever else you celebrate, my man.
It's been like 6 weeks since I've been on the phone in the RSG studio. I'm excited to be here. We had a cast of qualified characters step in for us. RJ Page came in a few times. Justin Page, Hank. I mean, we just, Eric Hamilton, you name it. I mean, they just stepped up. But I'm back, man. I'm back. Like I told you guys in the pre-call, Elroy, I'm trying to get the band back together. You down or what? So I'm pretty excited to be here. Marcus, can I take a minute to talk about my fantasy football season?
Knock yourself out, dog. You earned it.
So, you know, like I told the Associated Press, when they look back at my fantasy football performance this past season in 2012, this will be the moment that they will look at when they're trying to determine if I'm a fantasy football Hall of Famer or not. And this season will give me the thumbs up. In four seasons, in four leagues, fellas, I made three championships. Yeah, you guys are quiet because one of the leagues.
Quality.
Yeah, because one of the leagues we were in.
Okay, get your Belichick check on.
Yeah, yeah. And of the three championships weeks, I won two of them. So, you know, by far the biggest move I made was picking up RG3 in the seventh round. Alfred Morris, free agent. And then I made a big move in a PPR league for Calvin Johnson. I traded Chris Johnson, Andre Johnson, and Vincent Jackson for Megatron. And at the time, you know, I was around 500 or so. I ripped off eight straight victories, including the championship. So I'm still pretty excited about it a month later, but I just wanted to put that on out there. I haven't had a chance to kind of pat myself on the back. But, yeah, that's where I'm at, fella. Fellas, I had to get that off my chest.
Hey, I ain't mad at you, man. He waiting on them checks.
But like
man
Marcus
waiting on the check.
Like Marcus mentioned, we got a real good show coming up tonight. We're going to open it up with Patrick Hayes from BallinMichigan.com. Patrick is the editor and founder of BallinMichigan.com, which is everything Michigan, as the game changer mentioned. Patrick covers small college hoops from D2 to D3 to NAIA, JUCO, high school, grassroots, AAU, as well as the big boys at Michigan, Michigan State as well. Patrick, how you doing tonight, my man?
I'm doing good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Patrick, before we kind of dive in to some specific Michigan stuff, and again, just a heads up for the listeners, Devon and I are both from Michigan. Devon is from Ann Arbor. I'm from Kalamazoo. And if any Michigan listeners are out there, yes, Kalamazoo Central did beat an Ann Arbor team a couple of years ago in the Class A state championship. I remind Devon of that every other time we talk. I don't think it was your high school, though, Devon, right? It was Pioneer.
I went to Pioneer.
It was Huron, actually.
Huron, yeah. You know, those river rats, they can't do it. But I would say this. You know, Patrick probably knows about that 1984, 1985 Pioneer football team. It's in the archives. So I'll let you go back to that.
So, Patrick, let me kick it back to you, man. Tell our listeners out there a little bit about Ball in Michigan, how it came about, and just the general inspiration behind your site.
It mainly just started out as kind of a hobby more than anything. You know, I spent about 7 or 8 years working in sports departments at newspapers. You know, I'm not working in the newspaper business anymore. I kind of moved a different direction career wise, but you know, I still have the interest. And you know, one of the things covering sports, you know, all those years in Michigan, you know, I grew up a huge basketball fan. You know, even before I started, you know, as a sports writer, and you know, especially in the Flint area, I grew up, you know, kind of at one of the peaks of, you know, Flint area basketball, when, you know, Flint produced, you know, 7 or 8 guys who, you know, were Division I college players, and, you know, a handful of them went on to the NBA. You know, so for a city, you know, that's, you know, a smaller city when you compare it to, you know, traditional basketball hotbeds around the country like D.C. or Chicago or New York, you know, a small city like Flint, and there, you know, a city like Saginaw, you know, places like that in Michigan just have really great histories and reputations for producing, you know, an incredible amount of basketball talent. And you know, I just always felt that there was never any kind of you know, one place you could go to really get a sense of that history. And that was kind of the inspiration behind, you know, wanting to launch it. I, you know, more than anything, I just want it to be, you know, a historical database that's out there where, you know, you can find information on some guys that are, you know, under the radar and, you know, maybe people don't remember how good, you know, some of these guys were. You know, I want this site to kind of just be there as that type of resource, you know. And then on top of that, you know, I use a guy like Mateen Cleaves as an example here. You know, Mateen, you know, obviously had a great college career. You know, he was a fantastic high school player at Flint Northern, and actually, you know, even at Michigan State, you didn't get a sense of the type of high school player he was. He had a, you know, some injuries before he was at Michigan State that took his athleticism away a little bit. You know, he was an above the rim guy in high school. And
I remember Mateen in high school. My junior year in high school, they actually beat us in the Final Four at mm-hmm. Breslin, Flint Northern, and it was awesome. Mateen's junior year, man, he could get up. He was quite athletic back then.
Yep, yep, and the, and actually, the you know, a lot of people probably remember, you know, the serious injury he had was a result of the recruiting visit to Michigan, where he was.
Hold on, you're gonna give Devon a heart attack.
So that that car accident he was involved in on that recruiting visit at Michigan actually, you know, it changed the type of player he was. You know, he was obviously still a really good college player, and he'll go down as, you know, one of the greats in, you know, in Big Ten history. But, you know, people don't even have a sense, who only have watched him at Michigan State, of you know, how incredible he was as a recruit. But, you know, he went on and got drafted in the NBA and, you know, bounced around to a few teams. And, you know, I think a lot of people look at Mateen because he didn't have the type of NBA career that he did college career. And they look at him and, you know, they'll call him a bust or, you know, things like that. And I've always kind of fought that, you know, not just with Mateen, but with all players. I think we do a really bad job as media in general of showing young athletes, particularly basketball players, you know, the opportunities that are out there to play professionally. You know, Mateen didn't have the type of NBA career a lot of people thought he would, but, you know, he had a great career internationally. You know, he played in the B League. You know, he made a very good living and had sure. a lengthy pro career. And there are guys from all over the state of Michigan that you know are doing that. A team in Iceland, for example, had J. Nathan Bullock, who was a Flint Northern guy who played at Cleveland State, and Jordan Watson, who he's from, I forget which high school in Oakland County, then he played at Central Michigan. You know, they led a team in Iceland to a championship there, and Bullock was the MVP. You know, there are all kinds of guys all over the world, you know, from Michigan having that type of big-time success, you know, in professional leagues. And that's really, you know, kind of those are the untold stories that I really like to find and expose people to.
You listen to Real Sports Guys on RealSportsGuys.com. We're hanging out with Patrick Hayes, the editor and founder of BallinMichigan.com. You can find Patrick on Twitter at @Patrick_Hayes or @BallinMichigan. So, Patrick, looking at your site and just having conversations with you, I know one of the reasons you started up this venture is to show that Michigan has some of the best basketball in the country. You know, if you ask the lay basketball fan, you ask them about some of the best basketball players who have ever come out of Michigan, most of them will mention Gervin. A lot of them will mention Chris Webber as one of the most highly recruited players out of ever recruited, as well as Magic Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
If I asked you to make a case of why Michigan is one of the top basketball states in the country, how would you make it?
You know, You obviously start. You have to start with Magic. He's one of the probably five greatest players in NBA history. Depending on the criteria you want to use to rank, you know, probably the greatest point guard of all time. Undeniable impact on the game. He's a Lansing guy. You know, you have George Gervin, as you mentioned. Another. You know, Hall of Fame player who wasn't just his talent. If you say the Iceman, everyone knows a style. You know,
that's right.
And that's what a lot of these great players from Michigan who have gone on and had incredible success in the NBA. Magic had a style. Gervin had a style. Dave DeBuscher, a guy who gets overlooked sometimes because he played in an era that was and a lot of people don't remember him as well as other guys, but he was a fantastic player with the Knicks on a really iconic Knicks team. It's not just the talent that this state has produced. It's the impact that those guys have made on the game. You know, they've been on some of the best teams in the history of the league. And it's, you know, it's not just, you know, the individual things they've done either. You know, Magic was on, you know, great high school team. He won a national title with Michigan State, you know, and in-state team in college. DeBuscher was, you know, people, I think people know that University of Detroit today, you know, they recognize it as a solid mid-major program. You know, they had some tournament appearances in the late 90s. You know, the team was in the tournament last year. But, you know, in the 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, that program was producing incredible players. You know, DeBuscher went to U of D. You know, Spencer Haywood's a U of D guy.
Yeah.
Terry Durod is a guy who, I mean, he didn't have a great NBA career, but, you know, he played with Larry Bird a little bit in the NBA. And, you know, there's a great urban legend that, you know, Larry Bird called Terry Durod the greatest pure shooter he's ever seen. Everywhere you look, you know, throughout NBA history, you can see all these connections, all of these ways that Michigan guys have impacted that league. And, you know, I don't think that nationally people necessarily realize that the way that, you know, if you mention Chicago basketball, everyone knows that, you know, Chicago has produced great players. You know, if you mention, you know, New York City basketball, everyone knows that. But Michigan is right up there with those hotbeds. And, you know, I think you don't have to dig very far to, you know, realize the kind of impact some of these guys have had on the NBA.
We're here in the RSG studio with Patrick Hayes, the editor and founder of BallinMichigan.com. Let's shift a little bit before I send it to Devon. And I know Devon will like this topic. I'm going to throw it out. Urban legends, guys who many of us from Michigan were familiar with these guys because in a lot of ways they were regionally as big as your Chris Webbers, your Jalen Rose. They were can't-miss prospects. But for some reason or another, they either didn't stick to the NBA or didn't get to the NBA. Give us a few guys like that from Michigan that you would consider urban legends.
You know, off the and my Flint bias, you know, I'll show through a little bit here, but
Flintstones.
You know, we have three guys right here in Flint who, you know, really everyone thought that these guys were going to be the stars. You know, Eric Turner is the big one. You know, Glenn Rice is the guy who came out of Flint, and you know, he probably had the greatest NBA career of any Flint player. But when and to this day, you will find people in Flint who insist that Eric Turner is a better player than Glenn Rice ever was. And you know, Turner, you know, went to Michigan. Left early, and probably to his downfall, left early. He was a second round pick and just never actually made it with a team in the NBA. I think had some, you know, personal demons in his life. He did end up going on to have a, you know, a good pro career, but, you know, he was a guy that, you know, everyone insists still to this day that Eric Turner is the greatest player that has ever come out of the city of Flint. And then, you know, in the 90s, that guy became, you know, Corey Hightower. He was, you know, if you talk to guys like Cleaves, Morris Peterson, you know, all of those guys, they'll still tell you today. And I, the last time I interviewed Morris Peterson was about a year ago, the last time he had his camp here. And, you know, he'll still tell anyone who will listen that Corey Hightower is the greatest player at any level he's ever played with. So, you know, Hightower has people who know him, you know, all over the NBA and random places. You know, he played at Mount Zion Academy for a year with Tracy McGrady, and he actually led that team in scoring that had McGrady on it. You know, he led them. Hightower led them in scoring. You know, I think he ended up getting kicked off of that team because he was a notorious hothead too. Flint used to have this great pro-am in the summers, and when Cleaves was with the Pistons, a lot of the Pistons would come down and play in it. And there was when Chucky Atkins was still on the Pistons. He had some great pro-am games here, and just randomly in the Pistons locker room after a game, one of the reporters interviewing guys mentioned that, you know, he was from Flint, and then Chucky Atkins piped up and said, "Hey, who was that guy from Flint?" And, you know, he was describing this, you know, phenomenal talent who dominated these pro-am games featuring NBA guys, you know, and he was talking about Hightower. And, you know, Hightower, you know, never stuck at a Division I college. In fact, never made it to one. He was drafted in the second round right out of a JUCO and ended up with the Lakers in training camp. You know, he denies it to this day, but everyone else around him insists that the reason he got cut from the Lakers as a rookie is because rookies were expected to carry the bags of veteran players, you know, just like a lot of, you know, NBA teams. And, you know, Hightower allegedly refused to carry Kobe Bryant's bags as a rookie. So, and then the next day he was cut. So, you know, there's tons of guys like that who just phenomenal talents, and then, you know, for whatever reason, had things going on in their head where they couldn't make that talent work for them. You know, there's also, you know, tragic cases. You know, a guy out of Detroit, a lot of people will probably remember his name is Reggie Harding. You know, he, you know, was a 7-footer, could do everything. You know, got involved in drugs, in crime, was eventually murdered. You know, Flint has a guy like that, too, with similar problems. Terry Furlow actually made it to the NBA and had, you know, a couple of pretty good seasons. Looked like he was going to be kind of a breakout player, and then he was in a car accident and died. You know, he was another guy who, you know, drugs kind of derailed him in the era he grew up in. So, you know, just like Michigan has all these really successful cases of iconic guys coming out of the state and doing great things. You know, there are a lot of guys in every area who, you know, great things were predicted for them, and then just for whatever reason, things didn't work out. But, you know, a lot of times those guys have even more interesting stories than the guys who made it.
I'm just going to jump in here, Patrick. And one I wanted to add, because I'm over here near Rockford, Illinois, is Freddie Cofield, who played in Ypsilanti and was a star in the CBA. But he's another great example of a guy that, you know, I thought people had high hopes. I know in the Ypsilanti kind of area, but, you know, he went out to Oregon and came back, played in Eastern Michigan, but then played in the CBA. You know, he scored 50 several times. But those kind of players, I mean, Eric Turner is the one I think that you said that stood out, that I don't think people understand how good he really was.
You know, he was legitimately the best player in Flint in an era where, you know, Flint was the height of high school basketball in Michigan. I mean, he was just an incredible talent.
Yeah, when we were ranking that, Phil and I had a conversation, you know, even about, you know, greatest Michigan Wolverines of all time. I don't think people, I start with Eric Turner in that top group. And as you said, if he would have left as a junior, I think he ended up with the Pistons playing behind Isaiah or something like that. But, you know, he was someone I watched him in person a lot in Chrysler Arena and thought, you know, this guy's a can't miss. He's going to be a flat-out star in the NBA. So definitely enjoyed. That was one that kind of got me triggered. But I'll send it back to Phil to finish up the interview.
All right.
So you're listening to Real Sports Guys. RealSportsGuys.com. We're having a good time with Patrick Hayes of BallinMichigan.com. Again, you can find Patrick on Twitter at Patrick_Hayes or at BallinMichigan. So Patrick, I know recently you start doing a weekly feature with the Detroit Free Press, doing a power rankings for college basketball in Michigan. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, first of all, it's just a cool thing that the Free Press is doing. You know, I really think, you know, among media outlets in the state, the Free Press is really, you know, one of the visionary, you know, forward-thinking ones right now. They're, you know, they've recently hired some, you know, some talented people. They're doing a lot of things. You know, Ball in Michigan isn't the only, you know, blog that you see gets some exposure on Freep.com now. You know, they're reaching out to team blogs for all the pro sports and all the college sports, and really, you know, they really get the importance of, you know, bringing in those extra voices. You know, everyone kind of knows the state of the newspaper business. You know, what's happened over the years with staff cutbacks and things like that.
Right.
And, you know, the Free Press, you know, gets that, you know, they have to find ways to still kind of deliver some of that niche coverage that people really want. And, you know, I hope that this column, I think I've written it 3 times for them now, but I hope this is a way to kind of get some teams that, you know, don't get very much coverage, and even in their local media, you know, I hope this is a chance to give some of those teams some exposure. You know, right now there's, you know, at pretty much every level of college basketball in Michigan, you know, there are teams that are national title contenders. You know, Mott Community College at the JUCO level has won, you know, 4 national titles in the last 10 years, including last year. You know, they have a great team with another kid who's probably going to be an All-American this year. You know, they're just a really strong hidden program. You know, at the Division III level, there's you know, Calvin and Hope are right at the top of those standings again this year, and you know that's one of the great rivalries in all of college basketball at any level. You know, Hope, you know, for a Division III, a small college on the west side of the state, you know, they fill their gym and draw better than some mid-major Division I teams do. You know, they just have an insane following over there.
Right.
You know, at the Division II level, you know, Michigan Tech has a kid named Ali Haidar, who is, you know, he's one of the best players in all of Division II college basketball, you know, way up in, you know, the very top of the state. He's averaging about 22-12 this year. He was the GLIAC player of the year last year, the junior, and he's even better this year, so... you know, it's just the column is just a chance to kind of give some exposure to those programs, you know, to show that, you know, those kids can play at that level. You know, a lot of those kids, you know, are going to get some, you know, looks and opportunities to play professionally overseas. You know, Rochester College this year at the NAIA level, they beat a Division I team. They played Eastern Illinois in a non-conference game, and they beat them. They were 2 minutes away from beating Kent State before Kent State caught fire from three-point range and scored, I think, 12 or 14 points in the last couple minutes of that game. But, you know, that's an NAIA school that almost beat 2 Division I teams in the season. So, you know, there's great basketball at every level in the state right now.
Now, Patrick, before we let you go, we're going to do a little bit of rapid fire with you. I'm going to toss out a few guys. Many of these guys were Gatorade Players of the Year for the nation when they were in high school, but they kind of faded into black a little bit, and they're never made it to the NBA or never stuck with the NBA. So I'm going to say a couple of players, and I'll give you 30 seconds to respond for each guy.
Okay.
Clint Owen, Kelvin Tolbert.
KT, he's, you know, he obviously didn't turn into the type of college player people thought, but if you talk to him today, you know, there are people in Flint who insist that Tom Izzo ruined Calvin Torbert's game, because, you know, he was an offensive player and an incredible athlete, and, you know, Torbert insists that the reason he's had a professional career is, you know, Tom Izzo taught him to play defense. So, and, you know, Torbert, I think, played 6 or 7 years overseas and was a great defensive player over there. So, you know, I think he'd tell everyone that he had a successful pro career.
This next one is going to break Devon's heart, and it probably would break Hank's heart, too. Hank Davis from Inside the Park. Lavelle Blanchard from Ann Arbor.
You know, he's another guy who, you know, he had a really, you know, didn't have a bad college career at all. And, you know, he got an opportunity to play professionally. You know, that's, you know, I think a lot of times people look at players like him who, you know, were big-time stars in high school, and they expect that upward trend's just going to continue. They look at players like that as, you know, them failing to reach something, but, you know, LaVell got an opportunity to get paid to play basketball. So, you know, I don't think you can really complain about that.
This next guy is a guy that I'm just looking for an update. He played at Michigan State for a year or two. He was a player of the year for the whole country coming out of Lansing. I believe he played at Magic Johnson High School. Marcus mm-hmm. Taylor, he was a point guard. And I believe he came to Michigan State right when Mateen Cleaves was leaving. But he only spent
yep.
a year or two there. Any update with Marcus?
Yeah, Marcus was on the team. I believe Marcus was a sophomore and Zach Randolph was a freshman, and both of those guys entered the draft the same year. You know, Randolph, that obviously, you know, was a good decision for him. He was a first-round pick, and, you know, now he's one of the top players in the NBA. Taylor was a guy who probably needed a little more time at Michigan State. You know, he hadn't really developed a good enough jump shot yet, you know, hadn't developed the defense yet that, you know, NBA teams would look for in a point guard. He did end up getting drafted by Minnesota in the second round, I believe, but he didn't stick long. He did bounce around overseas. I'm not positive if he's still playing. He's still young enough to be playing, but I know he's back in the Lansing area a lot. He does a lot of camps there. I think he has like a basketball skills academy and works with
okay.
young players there. But yeah, he's just a, you know, one of those many guys who made that jump to the NBA and you know, probably did it a year or two too early.
Last guy, and we talked about urban legends earlier. Obviously, I'm from Kalamazoo Central High School, and there's a guy from my old school that's playing at University of Detroit right now who is a human highlight film.
Yep.
I don't think I need to say his name. Go ahead and introduce him and tell the listeners who may not be exposed to this guy what kind of athlete this guy is.
You know, Doug Anderson, there are maybe only – one or two guys in the NBA who can do the types of things that Doug Anderson can do in the air. You know, Doug doesn't have the overall skill set to, you know, he as a guy who's only about 6'5", you know, for Doug to be able to play in the NBA, he'd have to, you know, develop some semblance of, you know, perimeter play. And he's still pretty much a guy who relies on, you know, athleticism, filling lanes, you know, and jumping over everyone. But I can tell you, I saw Doug play for 2 years at Mott before he was at University of Detroit. I watched almost every one of his games there. I was still working for the Flint Journal at the time, so I was covering all the Mott games. And, you know, Mott's always been a small college team that they've always drawn well. When Doug was at Mott, they had to install two new sets of bleachers, and they'd still fill those, and they'd still have standing room only, and there were games when they had to turn people away at the door because Doug was guaranteed to do something incredible every time he played. And
they had to,
you know,
move a game once because he shattered a backboard, right?
Yep. They were playing St. Clair Community College, and it was only about 8 minutes into that game, and Doug it was a missed three-pointer, and Doug just came flying down the lane, and it was, honestly, it was one of his least ferocious dunks. It was just a kind of a typical putback, and you know, Mott's coach, Steve Schmidt, told me after the game he thinks that backboard had just been worn out from, you know, all of the dunks that Doug had done over the years. But, yeah, they ended up having to get someone to go open Flint Northern's gym for them so they could finish that game. It was actually a pretty important conference game that season. And I could, you know, spend a half an hour talking about all of the crazy things I saw, you know, Doug do. I saw coaches try, you know, it seemed like every other game, a coach, an opposing coach would try and badger the referees into kicking Doug out of the game for hanging on the rim. And
yeah,
he gave Mott such an advantage. And like I said, skill wise, he's not the most fundamentally skilled basketball player you'll see, but his ability to get the crowd into a game, even road crowds, that was just a tremendous advantage for those Mott teams. And I think it's the same, same thing at Detroit. You know, he's actually playing with, an NBA caliber point guard in Ray McCallum at Detroit.
Yeah.
And, you know, having that duo there, that makes Detroit games insanely exciting to watch. And, he's just... I don't know what Doug's pro career is going to hold. He's going to have a pro career of some sort. But I know that any team he's on, will have fans and people who are watching those games just to see him do something.
Patrick Hayes from BallinMichigan.com. Patrick, thank you for joining us, and we'd love to have you back at some point in the future.
Oh, my pleasure. I'd love to come back, guys.
All right. Back to you, Game Changer.
Hey, man, great interview, PhD.
Wow.
Thanks again to Patrick. Wow, wealth of information. That dude is like an encyclopedia of Detroit or Michigan basketball, man. I was amazed. I mean, that was a great interview. A couple of things that I took away. One, I was literally blown away by this dude's knowledge. I mean, you guys are dropping names of cats that I've heard of, just generally heard of in passing. Either you or Phil have mentioned them. But, to hear him kind of go in depth about guys, I felt like I just sat back and listened, man. I was learning. A guy like me who's a hoop junkie, it was great to just sit back, listen, and learn a little bit about another state's basketball history, man. That was great. I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Any impression?
Go ahead.
You hit it right on the head. And I just heard that, they're going to bring back the wake-up show. And wake-up show served as the entree for MCs to bring the underground to the rest of the world. And I feel like tonight we experienced what I would call a wake-up moment. When we brought, it's where, before Eminem was Eminem. It's where, and he was in the booth doing 16 bars before he launched it. It was one of those moments that it was incredible. I mean, hearing put the names out there, the Eric Turner thing didn't even have me jumping off the seat. Phil knows how I feel about that. And I don't think people understand. When you talk about Isaiah Thomas, Eric Turner was in that mode. And I don't think people really understand how great a player he was. But, Sports Illustrated did a spread on Flint per capita. It was when Glenn Rice, I believe, was coming out of high school as a guy. They had several guys who had particularly sprinkled around the Big Ten, and just talking about the number of great NBA players that came out of the Flint Saginaw area. But, throughout Michigan, and I think when people talk about basketball in terms of the hotbed, I think people miss Michigan, or they might highlight Detroit, but they don't. People don't hit how big Flint and Saginaw is in that picture, and even the western part of Michigan. So it was good to have him on, and he hit me with the Blanchard one because, Blanchard was the star coming out of high school, and he happened to go to Michigan when they were going through the transition and trying to rebound. And I just think that, if he was playing with this squad today, he was a total player. He was an in-between type of player. But, he was a great player coming out of the state of Michigan.
Yeah, every state, every city has its lore, its hoop lore, And, again, it was just great to hear him kind of run you through Michigan. And you're right, usually people give props to Detroit, but ignore the rest of the state. But there's a lot of rich history in Michigan as far as hooping goes, man. And it was great to have Pat come on and Patrick come on and shed some light on that, man. just a great interview. I wanted to get your thoughts on the current Michigan team, the University of Michigan. Number five now, they were number two, last undefeated team, went down to Ohio State. What do you think of that team, and what do you think of the job Beilein's done out there?
Well, I know, so I got to, you know, so I always get it kind of clouded by my family members and I respect my brother. He has been critical of Beilein in recent years, but I like that team. I think they get all the pieces to make a run. Beilein is taking on the mold that you see in terms of recruiting at Florida and at Duke, in terms of the kind of players he's bringing in. I think what they need to do, and what you saw in the Ohio State game, that worries me, because this is my criticism of Duke and why I think they've struggled at certain points in the tournament, is that they have the players to get into the hoop and draw fouls. They have the big men who are skilled enough to draw double teams. Is whether or not they fall in love with the three-point shot. The shot Burke got at the end of the game, he can get that at any time. He should have been able to get in the lane. They're only down two. He could have got the old-fashioned and one. Same thing with Hardaway. So, and I love Robinson III. I think he's an incredible. I think he's the key to the run. But their ability to go deep is going to be on whether or not they fall in love with the three-pointer or not. They can shoot it. But I think they have the ability to get to the basket and draw fouls and get to the free throw line. So if they can
start
doing
more of
that, they can do it. Huh?
Is that Big Dog, yeah. Son? Robinson III?
Yeah, Big Dog, son. Yeah, he's a hell of an athlete.
Mm.
Yeah, he is a beast. That game against Iowa, they beat them by the end of 30. He had a double-double. So, you know, guys like Hardaway, Robinson and Burke can get in the lane, but I think they need to use Morgan and McGurdy or whatever. That kid's a talented guy. He was swatting shots. So get some of their big men. Sometimes they got to feed them and get them to eat a little bit. Let them eat a little bit. I think that'll help them long run. So, but I like the way they play. They share the ball. They play good defense. The Big Ten is just deep. It's back to, like I said, I sent a tweet out. The Big Ten feel like it's back to the 80s and the 90s. You know they back to their flow again.
Just,
you know,
need Bobby,
like,
Knight to start throwing some chairs. That's all we need.
Yeah, we need Bobby Knight to start throwing some chairs. I just felt like, woo, I watched the Big Ten teams play, and I'm getting hyped. I'm about to throw on some old Heavy D and just chill. Watch some old videos of some old teams. Bring out some Henderson and some of the old Gary
Stop
Grant.
It. Stop it. Stop it. The general.
The general. I remember when he was a freshman, man, he had a shot against Kansas. Couldn't shoot. They said he could, but he had a shot against Kansas from about 25 feet going down the stretch. I was right there on the court side. I was like, I'm feeling it. It was like an out-of-body experience. But I like that Michigan team. But, you know, Ohio State looked good. You know, this is going to be a good run.
Yeah, the Big Ten is loaded. The Big Ten is loaded for sure this time around. I'm going to transition us into the funky editorial so we can drop some knowledge on the folks one time.
Fellas, only one thing we need to say.
Yes,
shall we say it, y'all?
Yes,
Melvin,
right.
Jimmy,
yes.
Coleman,
yes.
Ryan,
yes.
Sit.
Yes.
Everybody want to get funky one more time.
Listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice.
Yes, sir. Classic AI jumping in real quick. So, for this week's edition of the Funky Editorial, we're going to talk about a television moment that is a moment that happens all the time in barbershops, on morning commutes, at the water cooler. This moment happens all over America. This time it happened on TV. And I think somebody got in trouble because they had an intimate moment on TV. And I don't mean intimate like you with the lady intimate. I mean just like something that happens. It happens all the time. These kind of conversations happen all the time, but they're not on TV.
And maybe they should be on TV more often. Maybe people shouldn't get fired for having these kind of conversations. But you're probably wondering, what is Game Changer talking about? I'm talking about the Rob Parker being dismissed. Rob Parker being dismissed from ESPN for comments that he made in reference to rookie Redskins quarterback Robert Griffin III, also known as RG3 or RG3 Stacks. I will read Parker's comments verbatim so that we get a full we have a full understanding, and then I'll give you some more context as to what I meant by this kind of conversation happens all the time, all over the country. It just usually doesn't happen on TV. So this is what Rob Parker said on December 13th on ESPN's First Take. I've talked to some people in Washington, D.C., some people in Griffin's press conferences, some people I've known for a long time. My question, which is just a straight, honest question, is he a brother or is he a cornball brother? he's black, but he's not really down with the cause. He's not one of us. He's kind of black, but he's not really like the guy you want to hang out with. I just want to find out about him. I don't know, because I keep hearing these things. He has a white fiance, people talking about he's Republican. There's no information at all. I'm just trying to dig deeper into why he has an issue. Tiger Woods was like, I have black skin, but don't call me black. People wonder about Tiger Woods early on. So,
Devon, I think Marcus had that memorized. I don't think he was reading it.
He was in the marinade.
So, these were in response to a statement, some statements, and I will paraphrase RG3's statement. RG3 was asked about being referred to as a black quarterback and how he felt about the comparisons and being put in a box as a black quarterback and constantly being compared to guys like Cam Newton, Michael Vick, who his game has some similarities to, but it's very different from as well. And, you know, RG3 basically came out and said, I don't want people to view me that way. I don't want people to necessarily view me as a black quarterback. And, you know, black, white, or indifferent, I don't want people to think of me as black. I want people to think of me as, you know, a quarterback. And, you know, he didn't want to be defined by his race. He didn't want to be defined by his race is what RG – well, kind of basically what RG3's comments boiled down to. And when people were judging how he played. So Parker kind of went in on him a little bit. So now to give, again, to listen to some context, these kind of conversations happen all the time amongst black people, all right? If you're a non-black listener, we talk about each other like this quite often. It's kind of a vetting process that you have to go through before you become an icon in the black community. Before we revere you, we got to make sure, as Rob Parker put it, you're not a cornball brother.
Republicans buy Jews too.
Right, right. You know, so we have to make sure you're in. You know, and you're not faking the funk, and you get where you come from, and you understand. You know, there's a certain perspective you got to carry yourself with. And you also have to carry yourself with an understanding that. You represent all of us, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're up there doing your thing, but if you mess up, you got to understand, you know, for a gym pop brother like myself, there might be ramifications. You know, somebody might ask me a dumb question the next day because you did something stupid. Like, do all you guys do that? No, we don't. You know what I mean? Pac-Man Jones gets into trouble because he wants to, you know, take a trash bag full of ones to a strip club in Vegas and... Next thing you know, I got people at work asking me, have I ever done that? No, I don't. I work with you. I don't make that much money. Have you ever taken a trash bag full of ones to the strip club? No, okay. So, fellas, first off, my first question is, was Parker out of line for his comments? I'm going to start with PhD.
Yes. Yes, he was out of line. Poor move. Tony Dungy said it best. Tony Dungy said in response to this situation, there are things that I may say in the barbershop that I'd never say here on TV. And to me, that statement hit the nail on the head. Now the secondary issue here is how barbaric and outdated is Parker trying to define downness, blackness, and so forth. You know, the color of your fiance, the affiliation of your political party, has nothing to do with how down you are for the cause. So when you put all that together, but the biggest issue is that he said this on TV, and he said this in the wrong setting. But then he added it with just some buffoonery, you know, just some very inaccurate, antiquated information and point of views. So unfortunately, in 2013, that cost you your job.
So I take it you felt ESPN was right to dismiss him.
Well, so I think that I don't necessarily agree with that. I agree he was wrong. The reason I take pause on responding if ESPN was in the right or not for dismissing him is because when you look at that show, First Take, they try to be as provocative and pushing the envelope as much as possible. When you look at some of the things Skip Bayless says, when you look at some of the things
everything Skip Bayless says.
You know, I mean, they are making the best effort to be provocative and to shake things up. So that's just not something I observe. I'm fairly certain these are things that go on in production meetings. These are things that go on in strategy.
I don't know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
No, it's not. It's
getting the people going.
That's right.
That's right.
Anytime somebody says provocative three times, you have to play that clip.
Yes, sir. So that's why I take pause, because, you know, and then you look at how it was highlighted on ESPN and on First Take the next day. This is motivated through ratings. And so in some ways, it concerns me that he was let go, knowing that they are encouraged to make envelope-pushing statements like these.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You know, I see what you're saying, because I agree. That show is about saying whatever, you know, about 80%, 85-80% of stuff that comes out of Skip Bayless's mouth at any given time. I doubt he actually believes, but he says it because that's his job. Before I get into what I want to say, D. Wills, your perspective. How do you feel about what's your perspective on what Parker says?
I think that Phil did a good job of just summing things up. In terms of just the way in which he put black folks in the box. I think the greatest disservice, and I think Jason Whitlock addressed this when Stephen A. said some crazy stuff as well on the show, is that what he forgot is that he's trailblazing in an industry where there's very few like him who get that opportunity. And so one of the things that I think Jason Whitlock was very critical of some of the things that Steve Barry said, but especially using the N-word, being suspended for, and just the way in which they're encouraging this kind of minstrel, kind of this crazy behavior on there, that they have the ability to get into different space. And they always got to know whether they're using this as a leverage point to get to other space. They got to always know where they are. They don't have the privilege that Skip Bayless has. Now, Skip Bayless said some crazy things like this. They try to explain it away. They might suspend it for 60 days. He might find his way back. They're not just going to put Skip away all the way like that. And so he had to realize, and then you can tell because a couple of producers, at least one producer, got suspended along with him. So it meant that something else was going on in preparation for that show. They didn't just suspend him. It wasn't like he just went out and went rogue. It was something that's in the context of that show that produced that. Something happened at pre-meeting. Something happened that warned them to not only suspend him, but suspend some other folks on that show. So what he forgot is, other than what he's talking about RG3, is that he has a responsibility as a trailblazer. That, in fact, there are more RG3s right now out there probably than Rob Parker's. I think he drank the Kool-Aid and forgot. And so that's the part that's most disappointing. Now he got to go back, like Stephen A. had to go back for a while and hope he can find a way back to the show. That's the disappointing part of this.
All right.
And the game changer says.
Not even the game changer says. I want to just dig into some, I just want to dig into this as a practice. You know what I mean? As a cultural practice that, as African-Americans, we kind of informally go through with prominent black folks. First, I think we have to agree that this is a process. I feel it's a process, but that's just my personal opinion. Do you guys feel that there's a process that we go through culturally where we have to somewhat vet icons? PhD, do you think that there's an actual informal? We know it's informal because it's not like there's black people meetings and we get together and we actually decide stuff. It's not speak of black people meetings when we get together and have these kind of conversations on you non-African-American listeners out there. It doesn't happen. It's all science fiction. So what do you think about this process? Is there an actual process?
I mean, likely, but I think it has shifted so much, you know, in the past generation, the past 20, 30 years. I don't think that it's as much of a process as it once was. I think, you know, as a society and as a people, we're moving more towards competence and content in terms of how we're judging people. I don't care if you're white, black, whatever. If RG3 is not getting it done as a quarterback for the Washington Redskins, and you're a Redskin fan, you don't care. You want somebody that's confident that can get it done. So I think because of the progress that has been made socially in so many different ways, it's less of an issue and it's less of a talking point and a process as it once was, say, during your Jim Brown days, your Muhammad Ali days, where athletes not only had to be have the pressure of being able to perform, but also have the pressure to represent, you know, their race in terms of big social types of issues.
Okay, D. Will, your perspective on this kind of phantom process?
Yeah, I mean, Kobe went through it. You know, folks in the hood are just now giving Kobe his card fully. He still with some criticism. So that element of that cultural element of, you know, that kind of vetting in the spaces, you know, Minnie Frost, it's the barbershop, it's the backyard, it's on the phone. It's sometimes if we really want to get loud, we might do it on Facebook, Twitter. But that part, I think, will always exist. I think what we talk about in that vetting has evolved and will evolve in terms of, I think what was so bad about what Rob said is that, people talk about that. We all know that happens in places and in shops and things like that. But I think part of being able to move forward as a culture is being able to have these debates on a more complex level, to know that the future of our culture is more complex, that we are a very diverse culture, but we've allowed ourselves to be narrowly defined, and that to have somebody like that who has the education and understand these complex issues to get pulled in, what he should have said is, I was drinking before the show. I'm sorry. I'd have taken that. I got to go to rehab, you know, and kind of work your way back. But to get out there and say some things like that, you know, in his position was wrong. But the vetting process is always going to be there. Because all of us, reflect on how you got your credibility. We just talked about balling on the court, particularly when it comes to these sports, is that you got to jump through. You know, it's still, even though some of these cats are getting on with hip hop, you know, taking a fast track, you know, for the most part, you got to be battle tested. You got to be MC battle tested, or you got to win 7 to 8 games on the court to get that credibility. That's why true hoopers like Kevin Durant go to Rutgers. Uh-huh. You know, so at some point, you know, even though I'm killing these fools in the NBA, I got to go to Rutgers just to let folks know. That's part of the culture, and I think that'll always be there.
Yeah, and I agree with you, PhD. Rob used the real caveman-like club to kind of really address an issue that exists. I mean, it's very primitive context in which he kind of framed what he was trying to say. But I agree. I think LeBron just went through this process.
Yeah,
you know what
LeBron
I mean?
Just
when we talk about that kind of cultural vetting, where it's like, you know, he's all right, but he's not real, as Jay-Z put it. You know what I mean? And at some point, you have to, you got to go through something, and you got to show that,
we need more dogs.
You know, exactly.
We need more dogs.
You
got to
show that when it comes time, because you know, white folks always talk about, you know, is that the kind of guy I like to go out and have a beer with? You know, and for us, it's more like, is that the kind of guy I sit down with a plate of ribs with?
Yep.
Is that the kind of cat I'm going to roll to the barbecue, a neighborhood barbecue with? Like, are we going to stop to a neighborhood barbecue, you know, and then go hit up a game at the park? You know what I mean? That's the kind of credibility where it's like, you can come and kick it with regular folks, not be uncomfortable, fit in, and then we can go to the park and bust some heads. If you can't do that, then I'm not a fan. You know what I mean? And I think LeBron was in that category. He was like, I'm not taking him to the park, man. He let Jason Terry get up on – he let the dude that's 6'2", 180 pounds, get in his face. Without as much as a shove. You know, you got Carmelo, who, again, I'm not a huge fan of, but he's doing some good things this season. He met KG, 6'11", 250 at the bus.
With 50 security guards. With 50 security guards. Okay? 51. Really?
That was Baltimore.
Really?
Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
I think, you know, if he would have described it in terms of, let me provide you a perspective of the community. See, if he would have come at it from there, you know, because he put himself as the first person in terms of this is how he feels. But if he would have just described it like, and I'm going to give y'all, so this is not good, but, you know, to understand how people are framing him, let me explain it this way.
I don't know, D. I think even that would have got him in scalding water.
If it would have got into scalding water, but I think it would have been, I think if he would have framed it to say, I'm going to take you inside of the community. Can I do that?
Parker really didn't seem like he even believed in what he was saying completely.
I think they did a Bundini on him behind stage, hyped him up when he got out there. They gave him a Bundini, man. That's what they're doing that stuff. He got a little Bundini Brown on him. He forgot who he was.
It'll be fine, Rob. Yeah, it'll be fine. Yeah, go ahead, Rob.
You know. And you should always go on a set with a picture of Stephen A. to remind you of how far he had to come back. They put Stephen A. out there. Stephen A. was doing shows out in the middle of nowhere.
What happened with Stephen A? He was in the
witness protection program.
Share with us what happened with Stephen A. I'm not familiar.
So Stephen A. had a number of flare-ups. He's been on the air. He said the N-word several times. He had a number of flare-ups. If you remember, he went up. He had his own show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Remember all that?
Stephen
A. was the man. And Whitlock writes about this really well. People have a chance to look for the article, Jason Whitlock. I'd love to get him on the show to talk about this. But Stephen A. was at the height. I mean, I love watching this show. I'm like, Stephen A. is about to blow up. He's about to pull Arsenio on us. And if you notice, he disappeared. He wasn't doing no NBA. He wasn't doing the show no more. And he had gotten to a point where some things were happening, so they didn't renew his stuff, just like they did Parker. And so he kind of worked his way back. I think he was even doing some stuff on Fox. He was doing some other things, couldn't find opportunity for college. Then he came back. And he kind of reemerged. And I love Stephen A. And then, you know, recently, I think sometime this fall, if you Google it, he had an episode where he was going back and forth with somebody, and he said, N-word, please.
Yeah.
And he said he didn't say it. He said he didn't say it, but if you listen
right.
to it,
right. he had a Jesse Jackson
anybody
moment.
Anybody who's in the barbershop knows
moment.
What he said.
He had a Jesse Jackson moment. The mic was still hot.
And when he said that, that's when Jason Whitlock wrote, I mean, what I think is a really good article about your role in the media in a industry where there's not that many, where people are still striving for opportunities. When you look at the upper management of ESPN, how many do you see?
Mm-hmm.
You know the best way Whitlock put it, when you should be the Mortensen for basketball of ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you should be striving for. Mortensen's not doing First Take.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
You're looking at First Take. Jamil. It's all the people of color are on First Take along with Skip. Patrick on there, Lil Wayne on there, T.I. on there, and it's just looking like Skip here.
Is Skip Eminem?
He ain't even Eminem. I wish he was Eminem.
MC Search? Pete Nice?
I'm trying to get Pete Nice. You know, he really Vanilla Ice. You know, I wish somebody would Suge Knight him and just dropping, you know, whatever, take his contract. But if you look at that, so Stephen A., he said it right, Stephen A. should be the Mortensen for basketball of ESPN because that's how talented he is. But they got all these cats doing First Take. So that's the underbelly of it, and you got to know that's the issue. I hope some of them.
And you know who else I thought was kind of in a position to position themselves to do that? But, again, something must have happened behind the scenes. It was Michael Smith.
Mm.
Yeah. You know,
well,
Mike Smith is another one. He was all over the place, you know, about a year and a half ago, maybe a little bit more than that, maybe 2 years ago. He was all over the place. It looked like he was going to slide into that Mort role, and then Shefty came along.
Well, he's got his new show.
We need to reach out and get him, man. Maybe he can give us some we can find out and get him on the air with us.
Well, he does have the By the Numbers show, though, right?
Yeah. Yep.
But before that, he was kind of a little bit, it seemed like his profile was growing a little bit faster and a little bit higher through the ranks, and then it was a record scratch, you know, and you know, somebody picked up the needle. So, but anyway, I don't want to get us too far off topic because we're running short on time, and I do want to get talking about the NFL this past NFL week, but it's just the interesting thing, man, and there's a lot more we can get into. It's a very layered conversation around Rob Parker's comment. You know, a question I wanted to ask is, you know, and just chew on it. We can revisit this in a week or two. But what's the cause? You know, Rob referred to the cause. What is that? What is the cause in 2012? As you said, PhD, it's kind of an antiquated term that exists. To refer to kind of a collective movement, but we can examine that as far as athletes go. What is their responsibility to a cause, and if there even is a cause? So a lot of people we can go. That's something that we can get deeper into. But again, we can have that conversation. We ain't getting fired, right, Shug? We not getting fired, right, Shug?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Vine knocking on the door. I need a few minutes.
Yeah, we had to talk about this last episode, fellas. But I do want to get into the NFL divisional round recap. We had four pretty good games. Green Bay at San Francisco, Baltimore at Denver, Seattle at Atlanta, and Houston at New England. setting us up for a great game, a great group of games this weekend with the championship weekend. What do we know now after the divisional rounds? D. Wills, what do you know now?
What we know is that the Harbaughs are great coaches. We know now that Atlanta is feeling like they're playing for real. And we know that Peyton is the same old Peyton. I'm gonna call him regular season Peyton.
Okay, you got to expound on that one,
please.
If you look at it, other than his run to the Super Bowl, his playoff record is pretty much terrible. And in many of those playoff games he's lost when he's at Indianapolis, they were home games where he had home field advantage. And you know, he hasn't had the best playoff record. And, you know, when I compare his playoff performances to his brother Eli, I mean, there's no comparison. But Eli's gone into Green Bay and won. And been a major part of that winning. So we can dig deeper in that, but I just think that, are they better off than when they were with Tebow? Tebow took them a little bit farther.
All right, so let me throw this out there real quick. Then I'm gonna go to PhD. Is Peyton Manning MVP?
No.
Nope.
No.
Why?
Adrian Peterson. Period.
Yeah, I think Adrian Peterson. Yeah, I would say Adrian Peterson's feet and how much they relied on him to carry that team and what he's come back from and. A team that many of us didn't even have as anywhere sniff in the playoffs, I would say AP.
I have to agree with both of you fellas on that one. And the other thing that I would add as perspective is that that Denver Broncos team made the playoffs with Tim Tebow, one Timothy Tebow as a quarterback. They were still 8-8. So I'm more impressed with Adrian Peterson leading, again, what was an afterthought of a team that was probably picked by most to finish last in their division, taking that team to the playoffs over Peyton Manning winning an additional four games with a team that won 8 last year with a quarterback who couldn't beat out Mark Sanchez. So I'm just saying. PAG, what do you now know after the divisional round?
Well, Marcus, I'm going to yield my time at the podium to Devon, because I've been waiting for weeks to ask him. You know, all my text messages have been ending with "Go Flacco." Devon has not been a supporter. Devon has not been a supporter, a booster of Joe Flacco.
He's been on record. He's on record.
Yeah. He's been on record. I just want to put a microphone in front of Devon and ask him right now, Joe Flacco, how you like him now?
Hey, I'm actually going to help you out here a little bit later when we have a chance. I will demonstrate how I feel in probably about 10 minutes about Flacco.
All right.
What I will say about Flacco is that I saw him in Cincinnati. You know, he only came out one series and did everything else, but it was good to see him up close and personal. I have a new sense of respect for Flacco.
Wow.
We will talk as we get to the dog of the week. Maybe they pop a surprise.
Okay, this is a 180, folks. This is a 180. If he will, if he's gonna do what I think he's gonna do,
yeah.
This is a 180 because he was not a fan of Flacco.
Oh no. And I quote: "What has Flacco done? What has Flacco done?" End quote.
Only the first quarterback in history to make the playoffs his first 5 years in the league.
Right. Flacco hasn't developed. If you look at Flacco, he hasn't developed. Yeah, end quote. I got more.
It's 2012, brother. It's all on record.
That's right.
That's right.
Real quick,
y'all,
the divisional
y'all
game.
Y'all can get that on iTunes. Y'all can catch me on iTunes while I said that. If you want to
yeah, I mean, 2011, 2012, Devon was on some anti-Flacco. 2013, roll around, he see this cat on the sideline. All of a sudden, you know, he drinking the Kool-Aid.
He drinking the purple Kool-Aid. With a terrible towel over his shoulder.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I wasn't going to go there.
Oh, man.
That family, extended family stuff, man. Hey, you can't do it. You can't push it out. But you're going to do
it. Oh, man. So, again, the games, all of the games were great games, very entertaining games. For you guys, which game was the most entertaining that you had the opportunity to watch, of course? PAG, which game entertained you the most?
Baltimore at Denver, by far. So many
Absolutely.
Exciting storylines there. You had Peyton Manning, you know, trying to get to the Super Bowl back in a hometown, New Orleans. You had Ray. I got to tell you, I watched that him coming out the tunnel for the opening playoff game, man, 2 weeks ago. I had to watch that like 10 times, man. But I do have a question. I do have a question, fellas. Was it necessary to put the divot of dirt on his jersey? I didn't quite get that.
Me neither. I didn't quite understand that. I mean, is that an inside kind of sentimental thing that if you're not a part of the Ravens organization, you will not understand? I don't know.
The execution was questionable. I mean, you know, there was just this uncomfortable pause, you know, and then the gopher, you know, the equipment guy runs out and puts it out there. I'm like, come on, man, that's got to be out there already. Come on now, if you're going to do it right.
Absolutely, I agree 100%. I was kind of questioning what's going on. Like, what
right.
am I supposed to think about that?
Right. I mean, that's like grabbing the Gatorade and putting it on yourself. You know, giving your own self a Gatorade bath. Come on now. Come on.
Right. Yes, sir. D. Wills, your most entertaining game of the weekend.
Well, I would say I love the Green Bay, the Baltimore and Seattle game. Houston game was way out there, but I would agree with Phil around the Baltimore and the Denver game. But I a close second is Seattle and Atlanta. You know, I've been equally critical of Ryan as I have been of Flacco. As you probably all know,
y'all said y'all would take Chris Johnson over Matt Ryan if y'all had to redraft 2008. What's Chris Johnson doing?
Right. The Clippers are also doing well too.
Hey, don't get me started. James Harden balling too. Bradley Beal to put together some good games too now.
We're going to table that one for a 2-hour session.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Justin
Page,
what's happening, dog?
I'm racking up mad common points. What's the Lakers in the playoffs?
Oh, yeah, they're not in.
And Dwight ain't staying.
I never thought they would long for Mike Brown.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at the stats and the success of like a Mike Brown offense and a Mike Brown defense, like you said, 8-5 when they score less than 95 points, or was that something like that? Yeah, it's 95%, whatever that is. But it looked like Mike Brown when it was really the answer. But we'll leave it at that. We'll digress in the future.
Yeah, we are. My most watchable game I was most entertained about was Seattle and Atlanta. Just because it got to a point where you knew Russell Wilson, and I'm from now on I'm referring to him as the Black Tom Brady. That's what he reminds me of, man.
What?
Russell Wilson is the Black Tom Brady, man. This dude just gets it done, man. Watch when he marries a model. When he marries a model, and you know, after being single for 7-8 years and wins the Super Bowl, I'm telling you, man, this dude has got it. Whatever it is,
Tom Brady, though, come on, that's a stretch, man. That's a stretch.
So think about this, man. No. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
From a poise perspective, you're talking about we've rarely seen a young guy come in and be successful at the rate that he's been successful, who was an afterthought, who we weren't anticipating. And the last dude to do that was Brady, who came in as, who's this guy? You know what I mean? When he gets six-round picks, Bledsoe gets hurt, he comes in, and all of a sudden this dude is cool as the other side of the pillow all the time. And that's Russell Wilson. Dude is
I didn't realize the Wisconsin connection with his offensive coordinator, Bevel. Bevel was the guy that led them to the Rose Bowl, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And he got him in there, yeah, man. So that's the reason I call him the Black Brady, because of the poise and the way this guy performs down the stretch. I thought they was going to get Atlanta. And the reason I thought that game was entertaining because it was one of those, here we go piling on. It was like when the Heat lost to the Mavericks. It was like, oh, y'all gotta see all offseason to hit it
again.
You know what I'm saying? That's not a good look. It was like the anxiety and the anticipation of what was about to happen again to the Falcons, because it looked like it wasn't gonna work. It looked like it wasn't gonna work. And then what was also entertaining was Pete Carroll. At the end of the game, this brother walked right up to the ref, got in the ref's ear, and was like, time out, and walked off. Then when old boy missed the field goal, he went on the field like a madman, talking, who called time out? Who called time out? You did, Pete. I mean, he come on the field, arms open, spinning around in a circle, looking at the refs. Who called time out? Who called time out? See, they got you on tape, man. It's 2012.
Right.
2013, rather. You can't do that and then act like you didn't do it.
Right. Don't go. I'm sure they showed
the replay up on the big jumbotron. You did.
Yeah, so we saw you kick that Packer player. We saw you.
Oh, man. So that's our NFL talk. We're going to hit you with the Resistance Digital Dog of the Week. And then we're going to shut this bad boy down. Let's go. Now we're going to get into our Resistance Digital Dog of the Week. Resistance Digital Solutions. Are you tired of running to the boys in blue? Are you done with listening to sales staff trying to upsell you technology that you don't need? We've all been there. So what did the real sports guys do? We contacted Resistance Digital Solutions for all our technology needs. They are not there to meet sales quotas or make profit margins. They simply just want to sell you what you need at a fair price. From iPads to PCs to flat screens, TVs, or intricate home theater systems, they customize every solution based on your needs. Check out their website at www.resistancedigital.com or email them at sales@resistancedigital.com for your custom technology solutions today. And please make sure you check them out, man. Check out the guys over at Resistance Digital. They'll do you right. They keep L-Dog. You on point with you. Yeah, check out my man, L-Dog. Keep you right with your electronics. Dog of the Week, fellas. My man, PhD. Why don't you go ahead and kick us off? You know how it go.
We need more dogs.
So my Dog of the Week, man, I'm going to go with the Patriots. They punked Houston for the second time in as many games, and the Patriots are looking like they're going to be an extremely tough out.
All right. D. Wells.
We need more
dogs. I'm going to say my Dogs of the Week because I've killed both of these two players for the past 3 years. And, you know, I'm the kind of guy I will give
I want winners.
Again. I'm going to get back on them. But I got to give Flacco the love. I mean, we had 331 yards and 3 touchdowns. But the big play down the stretch, got to give it to him. And then Matt Ryan. The drive, his own drive, that's my guy. And so I got to go with Flacco and Matt Ryan. I got to do it together because I've killed both of them over the past 2 years.
You doing okay over there, man? You hanging in there?
you know, if the Hardball's making, I'm hoping my brother's probably listening. I hope we can get on down to that Super Bowl.
See, that's what he's doing. He's working an angle. He's working an angle. He's trying to get Super Bowl tickets.
Man, I didn't think Suge could be bought. I didn't think Suge could be bought.
Well, every man's got a price.
We all got a price.
Oh, man. It's good to be back at the studio.
Yeah, absolutely. So, for me, my dog of the week is Colin Kaepernick. I mean, this dude, man. I'm watching him just shred the package. I mean, I still don't think they touched him. I mean, I think there was a stat that he had 150-some yards before getting hit. Like, you ain't touched him, you got 150 yards. I mean, I thought Adrian Peterson was bad. You know, up in Packer country, they feeling a little sore, man. Running backs running all over them. Quarterbacks running all over them. It's not a good look. But shout-out to Colin Kaepernick. Harbaugh made the right move. More dynamic player. That's what you need. I think he's going to get them to the Super Bowl. I think they'll beat Atlanta. I got San Francisco, New England in the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm going with. So, quick, give me yours. Give me yours. You got about 20 seconds.
I'm going to go New England and Baltimore. My nephew lives in Baltimore. Convince me.
They can't go to the Super Bowl. New England and Baltimore can't be in the Super Bowl.
Oh.
They same conference.
Oh, sorry. I'm going to go with Baltimore to San Francisco. I probably lose all credibility on that one. I lose all credibility. Chicago and the Bulls and Pistons will be in the final. Yeah.
You good, man. It's a slip. It's late. It's 11 his time. It's 10 my time. It's 10 D. Will's time. He's an hour ahead of us right now. He's living in the future. D. Will, Super Bowl pick.
It's Harbaugh Super Bowl. Shout out to Jack Harbaugh over there in Milwaukee. Look forward to seeing you soon. All Harbaugh.
Man, this dude is trying to pick it, man.
Playoffs? What are you talking about? Playoffs? You kidding me?
Oh, man. Man, that's all we got for this week. You listen to the Real Sports Guys, realsportsguys.com. We appreciate the patronage. Make sure you download the podcast. Make sure you check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. If you haven't followed us, make sure you follow us at Real Sports Guys on Twitter. Man, it's good to be back.
It is.
Man, it feels good to see people up on it.
That's right. That's right.
So we're going to be back again next week. Be blessed. Take care. And make sure you check us out. Same time, 8:30, 10, Tuesday night, RSG. Blog Talk Radio. Pete.
Luke Hoover from ESPN.com and RotoWire be hanging out with us.
Oh, yeah, we got Luke coming through. That's what's up.
Here we go.
Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it.
Can't wait.
Both teams play hard, my man. Both teams play hard. Both teams play hard. Both teams play hard. God bless and good night.
This is D. Wills with the Real Sports Guys, and you can always follow us on Twitter at Real Sports Guys. And always friend us at Real Sports Guys Radio on Facebook. And always, you can always catch us at RealSportsGuys.com. Thank you for supporting us. All right.
You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
I want winners.
Listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We're talking about practice.
Resistance Digital Solutions. Are you tired of running to the boys in blue? Are you done with listening to sales staff trying to upsell you technology that you don't need? We've all been there. So, what did the Real Sports Guys do? We contacted Resistance Digital Solutions for all our technology needs. They are not there to meet sales quotas or make profit margins. They simply just want to sell you what you need at a fair price. From iPads to PCs to flat screens, TVs, or intricate home theater systems, they customize every solution based on your needs. Check out their website at www.resistancedigital.com or email them at sales@resistancedigital.com for your custom technology solutions today.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.